The Federal Treasury Secretary, Martin Parkinson, has weighed in on the funding debate between the states and the Commonwealth. He argued that the states had bungled good revenue-raising opportunities. Speaking to an annual post-budget business economist luncheon in Sydney, Dr. Parkinson said the federal government had made tough but necessary choices in its budget, and states should too. And the soon-to-be ex-Treasury boss says raising the GST is not the only option available for states to fill an $80 billion hole left by a reduction in federal funding. Our business reporter Michael Yander was there.
Earmarked for the sack by the incoming coalition government, Martin Parkinson earned a temporary stay of execution with his term extended until the end of the G20 in November. And he chose not to rock the boat in his last post-budget speech.
I'm going in December. I don't want to go tomorrow. So I'm going to choose my words carefully.
But the government may regret letting him go at all, with Dr. Parkinson making a compelling economic argument for the coalition's tough love budget.
Prior to this budget, we were banking the house on 33 years of uninterrupted economic growth, and there's no precedent for that. We're banking on another 10 years of fiscal drag, and that being pocketed, and that has quite significant regressive impacts. And even then, we still don't get back to surplus.
The fiscal drag Dr. Parkinson's talking about is bracket creep, where tax rate cut-offs fail to rise in response to increasing wages.
Fiscal drag will pull someone on average earnings, average full-time earnings, into the 37% tax bracket from 2015-16. Moreover, it'll increase the average tax rate faced by that taxpayer from 23% to 28% by 2023-24.
Dr. Parkinson says this budget's designed not only to return the Commonwealth to surplus, but also to leave scope for income tax cuts to offset the effect of that bracket creep. But one of the main attacks against this budget is that it robs $80 billion in promised future health and education funding from the states to do this.
How will the states cope with this relative funding cut, given that they're less well-placed to access debt markets and have fewer alternatives to raise revenue than the Commonwealth government?
Look, that's a very good question. If you're thinking about where does the states get their money, they basically look to the Commonwealth in a lot of instances. And what this has actually done is it has allowed them to run very poorly what are very good tax bases.
And while all the talk is about the states being forced to push for a rise in the GST, Dr. Parkinson says that's not their only option.
The economic incidence of a comprehensive payroll tax with no exemptions is effectively the same as a GST. This is something that everybody pretends is a terrible thing. It's a tax on labour. It's no more a tax on labour than the GST. The incidence of a GST or a payroll tax will be moved forward to consumers, backwards to owners of capital, and fall on labour based on the economic conditions that apply. And that applies to both a GST and a payroll tax.
Not that he thinks raising the GST and or broadening its base is a bad idea, citing a speech he gave last month.
The Sydney Institute speech contains some observations on the benefits of indirect taxes, the efficiency of indirect taxes, particularly in a world where corporate income tax rates are likely to face further downward pressure.
And he says there's other areas where the federal government could raise some more money, including superannuation and the age at which it can be accessed.
Without putting any numbers on what the preservation age should be or when it should change, I think it's inevitable that pressure will build for changes in that area.
While Dr. Parkinson's budget appears to be his least popular with the public, it got widespread approval from a room full of economists, such as former NAB economist Rob Henderson.
Congratulations, Martin. I think you've struck a great balance there in the budget between the structural reforms, the imperative of getting the budget on a fiscally sustainable outlook, which I don't think it was, and taking into account the current macro difficulties of an underperforming economy.
Former NAB economist Rob Henderson, ending that report by Michael Yander.